Great job. Good song. Thank you. Go ahead and get in your Bible to Judges chapter 16. Judges chapter 16. We have been working our way through the book of Judges when I speak on Wednesdays. And for 19 messages now, we have seen and discussed what happens when every man does that which is right in his own eyes. That is the foundational philosophy of the people of Israel after the death of Joshua. And it was something that did not work out good for them. They were on a roller coaster of highs when they did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, and terrible oppression and lows when they did what was right to them. And it certainly serves as a warning to our country, and it serves as a warning to us as individuals that when we do what's right to us instead of what's right to God, it doesn't turn out well. Now, when I taught last on a Wednesday, we continued talking about the final judge that is discussed in the book of Judges, a man named Samson. We've now spent 4 messages studying him, and through those messages, we have seen a consistent pattern emerge. We keep hoping it gets better, but as his story unfolds, nothing, unfortunately, seems to change. We have regularly seen the Holy Spirit moving and working in his life. We have regularly seen Samson's supernatural strength. We've regularly seen his carelessness with the things of God and God's commandments and his vows. We have regularly seen his selfishness and personal vengeance as an excuse to act against the Philistines. We have regularly seen his moral weakness and his refusal to seek a woman who shared his faith. Amen. Though we did thankfully rejoice that he had the good faith and sense to use his gifts against Israel's enemies, against Israel instead of against Israel's people. But last week when I spoke, we still saw Samson acting alone. He still had not rallied the people of God to his cause like all the other judges before him. Last week, it was still personal as he picked up the jawbone of a donkey and he killed 1,000 Philistines with that jawbone. If you remember then, Samson seems to have settled down a bit and he judged Israel for 20 years. We hope he was a good judge. We hope he was just. Just because he was a judge didn't mean he didn't give in to his moral weaknesses, but he judged Israel 20 years. And when we close, Samson is now in his 40s, what we would easily consider to be midlife. And though we hoped that he would do better as he seasoned in life, because he was likely around 20-ish when he married the woman in Timnath, we now hope for better as he's in his 40s, but we instead find him going down to the Philistine city of Gaza and seeing a harlot. Now, to most people, it does not seem to be a big deal to be careless and casual about the things of God and God's commandments. It seems, in fact, actually, like most people are careless with the things of God much of the time. But that doesn't mean it pleases the Lord, nor does it mean that it works out well who handle their faith that way. See, Samson has been careless about his vows, careless about the commandments of God, his whole life. I wonder how it's going to turn out. Remember, Samson's not a regular guy. He was born with special gifts, special and unique calling in his life. He was very gifted. He had great potential. And I remind you of the words of the Lord Jesus when he said, "Unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required." Amen. If you're able to stand, stand tonight, please, in honor of the word of God. Tell of my thought tonight is carelessness leads to catastrophe. Carelessness leads to catastrophe. We pick up where we left off last time, Judges chapter 16, verse 1. Then went Samson unto Gaza and saw an harlot and went in unto her. By the way, when you hear about the Gaza Strip all the time in the news, that is named after the southernmost Philistine city. And so all that is linked in with this this Bible stuff here. So he went to Gaza and saw a harlot and went in unto her, and it was told the Gazites, saying, Samson has come hither. And they come past him in and laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city. And they were quiet all the night, saying, in the morning when it is day, we shall kill him. And Samson laid at midnight, and he arose at midnight, and he took the doors of the gate of the city and the two posts, and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulders, and carried them up to the top of an hill that is before Hebron. Thank you, might be seated. And we see, unfortunately, as Samson's story continues to unfold, now in his 40s, that his moral weakness rears its ugly head again in what we would call midlife. See, sometimes we wrongly think that the temptation to immorality only impacts those who are young, but not so. The New Testament is clear in 2 Timothy chapter 2 when he says, flee youthful lusts. But youthful lusts do not only impact the youth. It is actually good advice for all of us, regardless of our age, to flee youthful lusts. See, Samson judged Israel 20 years. That's what verse 20 says of chapter 15. He judged Israel in the days of the Philistines 20 years. He judged Israel 20 years, and the first word of chapter 16, verse 1, then. Then. This time he couldn't blame this on looking for a cause to fight the Philistines. Remember, he blamed what he had done in Timnath on that. This time, this was just the product of the lust of his own heart. Now, Gaza was one of the five main key cities of the Philistines. And Samson goes there from Israel to be with heathen women. Now, maybe he thought he wouldn't be recognized. Maybe he thought the people of Israel wouldn't find out that their judge went down to Gaza among the heathen. But the Bible is very clear, and life will always prove this out when the Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. Right. Amen. You may think you're getting away with something tonight, but it's just simply that there hasn't been enough time elapsed.
That's right.
Now, few things are less wise than repeating a mistake that has already cost you a lot in the past. But some people are slow learners. And Samson appears to be one of those. I hope you're not a slow learner. Life has a lot of hard lessons.
That's right.
You will learn them.
Right.
You're either going to learn them the hard way or you're going to learn them the easy way.
That's
right. Samson was, I'm not learning unless it's the hard way kind of a guy. 20 years have passed, but Samson is still careless with the things of God. This is clearly immoral and sinful for any human being, but especially for an Israelite in a position of authority. 20 years have passed, but Samson is still not dedicated to God in the way he was supposed to be as a Nazirite. 20 years have passed, but this generation of Philistines, they're not as sure that Samson still has it. And so, the previous generation of Philistines, they would have never thought, hey, let's wait by the city gate and jump him. I mean, they would have never thought that. But 20 years have passed, whole new generation of dudes. And so, well, he's old now. Let's take him. So the Philistines decide to arm themselves and jump Samson at the gate when he leaves their city. But Samson not only defeats the men guarding the gate, waiting for him, he carries the gate posts, and a security bar from Gaza to Hebron. That's verse 3. He lay till midnight, arose at midnight, took the doors of the gate of the city and the two posts, and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulders, and carried them up to the top of an hill that is before Hebron. Now, we don't really know how much all of this weighs, but listen, Gaza is one of their five major cities. And when someone attacked your city, the most vulnerable place was the gate. And so people had very strong gates. And so this certainly would have weighed several hundred pounds, which is a pretty amazing thing to pick up, but then to carry it to Hebron, and Hebron's about 40 miles away. And so think about this. I mean, imagine picking up a screen door and carrying it 40 miles. I mean, he's not picking up a screen door and carrying it 40 miles. He's picking up the gate of a major city, throws it on his shoulders, carries it 40 miles to Hebron, and by this time, he's not a young man anymore. I mean, this wasn't 20 years ago when he killed 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of a donkey, but I just remind you, though he's in his 40s, his strength was never Samson's. His strength was always linked to God. Again, we picture Samson as being this, you know, 6'6", 350-pound, you know, just jacked dude. And I don't know if he looked like that or not. My suspicion is that he really just looked like a regular guy. And that literally the only explanation for him being what he was and how strong he was and the things he did was only God. He still obviously has supernatural strength. He's still characterized by his moral weakness. We know he was careless about the grapes and anything to do with grapes, which was a part of his Nazirite vow. We know he was careless about touching dead things. We saw that in the way he handled the lion and the lion's carcass and the honey in the lion's carcass. But the Nazirite vow had three parts. The third part had to do with not cutting your hair. Remember, normally it was a temporary vow, but not with Samson. From birth to the casket, he was supposed to never cut his hair. See, the secret, remember, of Samson's strength, it's not Samson. Amen. It's the gift of God in Samson's life linked to God's plan for his life. Now, I wonder, this is a pretty close call with the Philistines. I mean, he obviously knew what he was doing was wrong. He obviously knew they were going to attack him. Maybe now in his mid-40s, maybe he's got more sense. Maybe this will be a wake-up call to him to say, do you know what? I really am too casual and too careless about the things of God. Maybe. Or maybe not. Chapter 16, verse 4. And it came to pass afterwards. So, what's he going to do next? That he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. The lords of the Philistines came up unto her and said unto her, entice him, and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him, and we will give thee every one of us 1,100 pieces of silver. And Delilah said to Samson, tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. And Samson said unto her, if they bind me with 7 green withes that were never dried, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Then the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 green withes which had not been dried, and she bound him with them. Now there were men lying in wait and abiding with her in the chamber, and she said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he brake the withes as a thread of tow, that's a little strip of flax, is broken when it toucheth the fire. So his strength was not known. Delilah said unto Samson, behold, thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Now tell me, I pray thee, wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, if they bind me fast with new ropes that were never occupied, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Delilah therefore took new ropes and bound him therewith and said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And there were liers in wait abiding in the chamber, and he brake them from off his arms like a thread. You know, probably the aspect of Samson's life for which he is most known is the story we just started to read. You know, when we say a word or say a name, something comes to our mind. I mean, when we say the word David, most of the time we think Goliath. When we say the word Samson, most of the time we think Delilah. We don't first think Samson and the lion. We don't first think Samson and the woman at Timnath. We don't first think Samson and the donkey jawbone. We don't think first Samson and 1,000 dead Philistines. We don't think first Samson tying 150 pairs of foxes' tails together with a torch. We think Samson and Delilah. People seem to love to hear and read accounts of people who fall and fail. You see, there's some part of our fallen nature, if we don't watch it, that always wants us to bring everyone else down to our level. Have you ever really thought about this? We complain that all the news stations is nothing but negative news. If someone could make money at a news station that was all positive news, someone would do it. But the fact of the matter is we don't want to really, we say it, but we really don't want all positive news. We want to know where the hurricane hit and show me the pictures of where the damage was worst. We want to hear about the illegal immigrant down in Baton Rouge. We if you can find some bad story in some neck of the woods in America or someplace all over the world every single day, and it fills our news waves day after day after day because our fallen nature always wants to bring people down to our level. You know what? You and I would just be way better off if we had recognized this about ourselves and just decide that, you know what? I want to hear and read stories of people who resisted temptation and were victorious in their life of faith. Yeah. He'd successfully, I guess, judged Israel for 20 years. And now in the middle of his life, he yields to his baser nature. I would to God that he had gotten victory over those years. But he didn't. See, his downfall started in verse 4 when it says, "And he came to pass afterward, he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek whose name was Delilah." You see, Sorek was in the land of the Philistines. And Delilah was a Philistine woman. There's a reason God has always told his people, both in the Old Testament and New Testament, to live a separated life. Amen. The name Delilah means delicate or dainty one. Another source said it means flirt. The wise man said in Proverbs 6:26, "For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread." See, if Samson had stayed with God's people in Judah and Dan where he belonged, he never even would have met this woman. He never would have wasted his potential, the gifts God gave him. But instead of being true to his God and the morality our Creator established, Samson, we read, loved Delilah. He loved a woman in the valley of Sorek. In fact, it's said twice about him in verse 15 of chapter 16. She said unto him, "How canst thou say I love thee when thine heart is not with me?" See, Samson loved her and he told her so. Bible never records her loving him. But he loved her. But Samson's feelings, though he had all this strength, were just as unreliable as your feelings and mine.
That's right.
You see, Delilah wasn't just a dainty little flirt. She was also cunning and brave, and she could be bought for the right price. And that's what verse 5 says. The Philistine lords come up and they say, "Entice him. Bind him. We'll give you, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver." There were 5 lords of the Philistines. There were 5 major Philistine cities. And so for 5,500, whatever a piece of silver is, I tried to figure that out. There's no way from the wording that you can know how much it is. But I do know this. In Judges, there were 70 pieces of silver offered to Abimelech for him and his army. And so if Abimelech and an army could be bought for 70, 5,500 would have set her up for life. She could be bought. Likely there was some measure of prestige for her in the minds of some of her people to be able to seduce this great hero of the Jews and archenemy of her people. But think about this. This would have taken a lot of courage in her part too. I mean, she might have been a dainty little flirt, but listen, for her to say, "You know what, you Philistine guys, you hide in here, and I'm going to trick him," listen, that's a pretty dangerous proposition. She was also a brave lady. To shame her loyalty and willingness to hurt and deceive someone who loved her was for sale. But it was. You know, one of the things you and I need to make sure we guard is make sure we're not for sale.
Amen.
You know, it's very easy to have our morality for sale. For most people, it's for sale when things are tough at your own house, when someone just shows interest in you. For some people, it's for sale with athletics. For other people, it's for sale with job promotions. For other people, it's for sale with you name it. Listen, if Satan, if there is a price for which your faith and your faithfulness can be bought, Satan will figure out a way to offer it to you.
Amen.
That's right. And you and I need to make sure that our faith is not for sale. Now, Samson first told her that he could be bound with seven green withes. And a withe is a little twig or a little strip of bark. And she had the Philistine men hiding in her bedroom, and she playfully bound Samson. That's what verse 8 said. The lords of the Philistines brought her up seven green withes which had not been dried, and she bound him with them. There were men lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber. Listen, she was a brave little thing. But when she shouted, "The Philistines be upon thee," he just easily broke them. And we see his carelessness, his overconfidence as he then returns to the arms of this woman who just sought his destruction. Carelessness leads to catastrophe. Carelessness is not going to make your faith stronger. Carelessness is not going to make your end better. Secondly, Samson told her that if he was bound with new ropes, that would hold him. That should have been a little suspicious, because 20 years earlier, they'd bound him with ropes and he just broke them, remember? And that's when he picked up the jawbone. But I rather doubt that Delilah was in her 40s. She was probably much, much younger. And again, when she said, "The Philistines be upon thee," he easily broke the ropes. See his carelessness. See his overconfidence. And carelessness leads to catastrophe. Thirdly, Samson told her, just weave his hair into the web of a loom. In verse 13, Delilah said unto Samson, "Hitherto thou hast mocked me, told me lies. Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound." He said unto her, "If thou weavest the seven locks of my head with the web," there must have been a loom in there. And now Samson's getting closer and closer to the truth. And when he falls asleep, she weaves the seven locks of his hair, and we get a little glimpse of what he looked like. Remember, for over 40 years, not one razor, not one time, had ever cut a bit off his hair. And he had it braided in seven braids. You might only imagine, some of you have seen like Rastafarians and people like that who have their hair completely unwashed, unkept, and just hanging down. And that's how I picture Samson. You know, whether he washed it into seven braids, I don't know. To me, it doesn't sound like a very attractive look, especially in your 40s. But again, she sets him up. And in verse 14, when she says, "The Philistines be upon thee," just said he waked out of his sleep and went away with a pin of the beam and with the web. Careless. Overconfidence. He returns again to the woman who had obviously now three times set up his destruction. I mean, how terrible and how blinding can pride be? There's a reason the wise man said, pride and a haughty spirit go before a fall.
Amen.
Listen, your pride and mine can blind us, and a haughty spirit can blind us as much as Samson was blinded by his pride and his carelessness and by the beauty of this young, flirty girl. He knew his strength came from God. He knew his real secret was his Nazarite vow. How could anyone be so careless? How could they consider themselves so indestructible? Which just reminds me of a simple question. Are you humble about your own potential to fail? Is falling from your steadfastness, is that just something that happens to other people? Hey, listen, there's a lot of people. You have sat in a chair or a pew at church and said, wow, they fell away, but not me. They quit their ministry, but I never will. They got out of sorts with the pastor. I never will. Listen, you and I are ripest for the biggest falls of our life when we think it will never happen to us.
Amen. Amen.
Which gets us to chapter 16, verse 15. It says, and she said to him, how canst thou say I love thee when thy heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these three times, and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. And it came to pass, when she pressed him daily with her words, and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart, and said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak, and be like other men. When Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines. Notice they weren't waiting in the room anymore. They're like, listen, lady, you have given us false calls before. You've cried wolf. We're not coming up there. So now she calls, says, come up at this once, for it showed me all his heart. She knew this was his heart. And the lords of the Philistines came up to her and brought money in their hand. She made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the seven locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he woke out of his sleep and said, I'll go out as other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass. And he did grind in the prison house, howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. I mean, think about how much infatuation he had with this young woman's beauty to throw all logic and reason out. And but I'll just say this. One of the things that makes men really dumb is a beautiful woman. She nagged him, much like his first wife in Timnath, until he broke down and gave in. Hear me when I say this. Few things are more blessed than sharing your heart with someone you can trust who loves you in return.
Amen.
And few things are more dangerous than sharing your heart with someone who doesn't really care about you.
Yep. Amen.
And Delilah did not care about him. She was using him just like he used that friend to find that woman in Timnath 20 years earlier.
Yep.
And just like he used other people to accomplish what it is that he wanted, he ended up being used in the same way. Remember, in our society, they say what goes around comes around.
Amen.
In the scripture, it says, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Why would you share your heart with someone already who's so obviously set on your destruction? I'll tell you why. He confused lust with love. And there's a big difference.
Amen.
By the way, I hope you're not someone who refuses to trust anyone. If I ask you to lift your hand and say, have you ever been burned by trusting someone? My hand would be up and every hand in here would be up.
Amen.
But there's something really dangerous after we've been burned by deciding I will never trust anyone again. That's really bad for you.
Yeah. Amen.
I would say to you, be careful who you trust. Because few things are more blessed than sharing your heart with someone you can trust who loves you in return. Now, to me, what we read a moment ago is one of the saddest sections in all the scripture. It records the destruction of a man gifted and called by God. His destruction meant that Israel, the people of God, could no longer battle the Philistines. They would continue in their oppression and bondage. And some of the most powerful and sad phrases we just read. One of them was in verse 19 where it says, "She began to afflict him." The man who had casually and carelessly used others as pawns in his plan now became a pawn in the hands of a woman more cunning and subtle than he was. It's a very sad phrase in verse 20 where it says, "He wist not, the Lord was departed from him." He hadn't lost his salvation. He still had his faith in God. Hebrews 11 describes the people there as having died in faith, but he had lost God's blessing in his life. Well, what a tragedy to live your life so far below God's standard of behavior that you lose God's blessing in your life. Whether you realize it or not, whether you know it or not, it is the power and work of the Spirit of God that makes anything we do in life that's good effective. That is true whether you're a singer, that is true whether you're a teacher, that is true whether you're a parent, that is true whether you're a witness, that is true in every area of life. The thing we need most is the Spirit of God speaking to people's hearts when we speak to their ears. And I think I'm not alone when I say that I've heard enough dead preaching from a living book to say, do you know what makes me want to be careful about how I live?
Amen.
There's a third sad phrase in verse 21. It says the Philistines took him and put out his eyes. You realize his eyes were the source of the entrance of lust into his mind and heart. Everything that comes into our mind and heart comes either in from the eye gate or the ear gate.
Yep. Amen.
Which is why we're supposed to guard them. But Samson had been careless with what he looked at, careless with all kinds of things, and now they put his eyes out with a hot poker. See, Samson's strength really wasn't his hair. It was his strength from God. And now he had totally broken his vow. He'd now thrown everything he had away carelessly, except for one thing, his life. He was still alive. And because he was still alive, and because God is involved, there was still hope.
Amen.
And that's why verse 22 says, "Howbeit, the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven." His hair is growing, but his eyes are still gone. His hair is growing, but he's still grinding grain like an ox. Do you realize what he's doing? He's chained to a long pole, and in the center there's a large rock, and that's flat, and then another rock shaped like a wheel, and they would put grain on that flat rock, and they would have oxen and mules just walk in a circle, and it would grind that grain, and that's what he's doing. Like an animal. His hair is growing. The blessings of God, though, are not flowing in his life like they once did. His hair is growing. He's a broken man. He's been completely humbled. He has nothing left but his life. But there is always hope as long as God is involved and you are still breathing.
Amen.
Psalm 103:8 is still true. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. Are you at the end of your rope tonight? Does all hope seem to be gone? Does it seem like you've been reduced at this point in life to having nothing left but pushing around that bar and grinding that grain in the middle? I just say this. Listen, if you're breathing and God is involved, there is still hope.
Amen.
But the Philistines aren't done with Samson. Samson's sin had found him. Samson's sin had bound him. Samson's sin had ground him down to the level of a common beast of burden. Verse 23. Then the lords of the Philistines gathered them together for to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon, their god, and to rejoice. For they said, "Our God hath delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hand." When the people saw him, they praised their God, for they said, "Our God hath delivered into our hands our enemy and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us." Listen, Dagon didn't deliver Samson into their hands. Samson delivered Samson into their hands. Verse 25, "And it came to pass, when their hearts were merry, that they said, 'Call for Samson, that he may make us sport.' They called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport. They set him between the pillars, and Samson said to the lad that held him by the hand, 'Suffer me that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them.' Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there. And there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld why Samson made sport." Do you see the picture? The big stadium. All the Philistines are drinking. They're praising their god, Dagon. And somebody says, "Bring Samson out." And so they have a little boy taking this man who was once so strong and once so great and once so blessed that he could kill 1,000 Philistines with a donkey jawbone. A man once so strong that he could carry a gate hundreds of pounds, 40 miles, and now he's led about by a child, two big black holes in his face where the hot poker put his eyes out. Can you not hear them laughing? Drunken. Laughing. Samson just says to the little boy, "Get me to the pillars that hold this building up." Verse 28, "Samson called unto the Lord. He said, 'O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistine for my two eyes.' And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood and on which it was borne up, of the one in his right hand, the other in his left. And Samson said, 'Let me die with the Philistines.' He bowed himself with all his might. The house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew in his death were more than they which he slew in his life." Though his life was destroyed by carelessness, a lack of character, and his own personal lusts, he still had faith in God to pray. Remember, Samson has always done his best work when he was desperate. When Samson was desperate, remember, he could pray and get water out of the jawbone. Remember that? When he's desperate. It was day-to-day living that Samson struggled with. And he's desperate. And so he cries out to God. And God found mercy in his heart for this careless servant. And God heard and he strengthened him one last time. And the prophecy of the angel who spoke before Samson was born to his godly parents came true. Samson began to deliver Israel from the Philistines, but he didn't finish. So what do we learn? We've picked up a lot of little tidbits along the way. How about this? We need to work on getting victory over our weaknesses and our character, because if we ignore them, they'll catch up to us. You know, a lot of times what we do is we feel like, "Hey, I'm strong at this, I'm strong at this, I'm strong at that, I'm weak here, and I know it, but I'm strong at these things." No, listen, if whatever your weakness is a significant enough thing, it doesn't matter if you're strong at five things, that one thing will destroy you.
Yep. Amen.
What do we learn? Here's number two. No amount of giftedness or calling of God exempts someone from the laws of God or the effects of immorality and carelessness. I don't care how long you've been a Christian. I don't care how gifted you are. I don't care what position you hold. Listen, we are all vulnerable to making sinful choices.
Amen.
Here's the third lesson, number three. We're warned about the danger of living a self-indulgent life. complacent with the things of God. Do you know self-control and a healthy fear of God are essential to living a holy life? Hear me when I say I've been a Christian now, it'll be 41 years this Easter. There are going to be times when you don't feel saved and your faith doesn't feel strong. Yep. And it is in those times of weakness that you have to have the character and that you have to have the self-control to say, you know what? Right now I don't feel like doing what I'm supposed to do. But for Christ's sake, I'm going to do it.
Amen.
Lastly, what do we learn? Knowing how to pray in desperate moments is different than living a life of prayer.
That's right.
Now, man, it's great that Samson could pray in desperate moments. I mean, what a great answer to prayer. For him to be strengthened one last time, and how the building could be so balanced that two pillars taking it down did it. For all we know, God had 10 other angels, one on each of the other pillars.
Right. Yep. That's right.
A great answer to prayer. But a great answer to prayer in a desperate moment, though it's a wonderful thing, it's not the same thing as living a life of prayer.
Amen.
And you know what I want? I want to be a man who prays.
Amen.
And I want to be somebody who, when the situation is desperate, can really pray. And that is not something special for a pastor. That's something available to every true Christian.
Amen.
Samson's the last judge in the book of Judges, but he wasn't the last judge. There's a guy who followed him whose name means God is high, not like that's used in our culture. God is exalted.
Amen.
I wonder who he is. I wonder what he did. But that, we'll have to wait for next time. If you bow your head, close your eyes.